Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today. Well, it's good to see you guys. Welcome to Blue Ridge Church. Welcome to our online campus. Great to have you with us. And I know what some of you are thinking. Who's the old guy? What home did they check him out of and they got to have him back this afternoon? My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at Blue Ridge, and I have the distinct pleasure today of continuing in this series that we've been in for multiple weeks now called Unstuck. And what we've been doing, if you're just joining us, is we've been looking at different stories of Jesus throughout the book of John, and we're watching how Jesus interacted with people, how he talked to people, how people reacted to him, but basically how Jesus gets them unstuck. Because the truth is, we all get stuck in life, don't we? We get stuck multiple times over and over again. We talked about how we get stuck in our habits and our hurts in life. We get stuck in our hang-ups. There's times we can get stuck in religion. We looked at Nicodemus. There's times that we get stuck in our own pride. We get stuck in our sin, right? And we think, man, there is no way out for me. There's no way the Lord's going to help me through this. We can get stuck in our identity. In all of those areas that we get stuck in, we have the potential to miss God's grace for us. We get stuck in hopelessness and thinking there's no way out. So today we're going to talk about another area where I think we tend to get really stuck, and that's in a certain pattern of thinking or a paradigm of thinking, right? And we can't see a different way. We can't see a different side, or worse yet, we get caught in between two ways of thinking. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I could lie or I could tell the truth. I could say yes, I could say no. I could do this or I could do that. I could go in this direction, I could go in that direction. But what I'm talking about is we kind of get caught in the middle, or we get caught to one side or the other side. And I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today, because this is something that church people get hung up on and fight about all the time. So if you're taking notes today, right out of the blocks, our very first learning number one, we get stuck between truth and grace. We constantly get stuck between truth and grace. That tension, if you will, between do I go towards the truth or do I go towards grace? It's very similar to maybe the space between discipline and compassion. The space between accountability and no accountability. And the truth is, this space that we're going to talk about today between truth and grace, this is a battle that every single one of us have faced and we're going to continue to face. If you're a parent, you face the battle daily between truth and grace. Well, you know, if I go too light on my kids, they're going to end up in jail. Right? Or they're going to just run wild. They're going to get into trouble if I'm too easy going. But then again, if I lean too much over here on the truth, then I'm going to alienate my kids. And I'm going to push my kids further and further away. Every parent gets stuck between truth and grace. You know, and if you're too lenient, you're leaning towards grace. And if you're too stringent, you're learning towards truth. It's the same with a boss. A boss faces this exact same battle. If I have too much grace, then my employees are not going to do anything. But if I run this place like a boot camp, then I'm not going to have any employees to manage. I'm not going to have a business to manage. Think about the tension. It's similar to the tension between forgiveness and unforgiveness. Or trying to decide what are the big things in life and what are the things that really aren't that big a deal. Maybe you felt this tension before dealing with a friendship. You know, your friend comes and asks you for advice, and you know that if you tell them the truth,
that you're going to hurt them, right? But on the other hand, if you don't tell them the truth and what they're doing in their life, you could send them down the wrong path in life. So this tension between truth and grace, it's been a tension within the church and church people, Christ followers, ever since Jesus has walked the face of this earth. And I truly believe it's one of the key areas in our life that we have to learn to get right if we're ever going to get unstuck and if we're ever going to stay unstuck. Figuring out that perfect balance, if you will, between truth and grace. Because what are we shooting for? What's been our whole goal in this series? To have that John 10:10 life, right? That theme verse we're looking at every week, we'll look at it again. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants this unstuck life, this life of abundance, this life of fullness. He says that is truly life. And if we are going to get there, we have to figure this dilemma out. And what's important to note, I think, is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, it doesn't come from only the truth, right? Being truth-only people. In other words, I know all the rules, I know the regulations, I know what I should do, and when I mess up, I'm going to pretend like I never have. I'm going to walk with an air that I'm perfect and I've got all this right. I've got all the truth down to a science. Because if you lean too far on the truth side, you become self-righteous. You become prideful. Your ego will swell. You'll have this feeling of superiority over other people. But the abundant life is also not a life that's just filled with grace, right? Well, it's my life. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah, that's fine. If it feels good, do it. Just do whatever you want to. No, because if you live a life that's completely filled with grace, what happens? You get hurts. You get hang-ups. You have plenty of regrets in life. You have a lot of pain in life. So it's vitally important that if we're going to live this life, this abundant life, that's truly life that Jesus says, we got to balance truth and grace. And I think the only way we're going to figure out how to balance truth and grace is to look at how Jesus handled truth and grace. And I know some of you, when I say that, all right, let's look at Jesus, you pull back a little bit. Because the truth is, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. Maybe you're still like, man, I'm not too sure about this Jesus character. And that's okay, all right? But here's what I'd ask for you. If you're still kind of on the fence on your faith journey, don't tune me out yet. Because I think today, in your personal journey, in your personal search, you're going to find some hope. You're going to find some help in what we talk about today, whether you follow Jesus or not. And the reason I think you'll find today helpful is because with my experience dealing with people over the years, people who do not have faith, for example, a lot of them have drawn their picture of who Jesus is based on Jesus followers and what Jesus followers have done and what's been done under the banner of God or Christianity. And because they're, you know, Christian people and church people can be judgmental and condemning and superior feeling and self-righteous, then we kind of paint this picture, well, that must be what Jesus is like because these people follow Jesus. And here's what we need to understand. Well-meaning people, good people, but they get caught, a lot of times church people get caught on too much truth side, right? And so they draw this picture of what that looks like, and other people think, well, that's what Jesus is like. So the reason I think it'll be helpful is you're going to discover, as we all discover today, that's not how Jesus is. Jesus is the perfect mix of truth and grace. Certainly, Jesus shares the truth with us, right? But he does it in such a way that it doesn't push us away. It doesn't alienate us. As a matter of fact, Jesus has a way of sharing the truth with so much grace, it does the opposite, and it actually kind of draws us in towards him. So I just ask that you don't tune out and see what Jesus is really like. And it's okay that you still have lots of questions. We all have lots of questions, even after we cross that line of faith. So we're going to look at a story that I think is familiar to a lot of you, and it's the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8. So let's read this together. Or not read it together. You don't have to read it. I'll read it, and you just watch. How about that? That'll be easier. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Now let's just stop right there for a minute, because I want to talk about the elephant in the room, because I know that if we don't address this right now, you're not going to hear anything else I say the rest of the day. And the elephant in the room is this: what is Jesus writing in the dust in the ground, right? And theologians and religious scholars will tell you, well, we just don't know for sure what Jesus was writing, but I know, because Cody told me. Cody has been studying this. I'm telling you, he's put so much time, effort, and energy into trying to figure this out, and he figured it out. And if you know the story, it's going to make sense. But what Jesus was writing to the woman who was caught into the act of adultery was, hey, if this doesn't work, run for your life. No, that's not what he was writing, but that would make sense, right? Hey, look, if what I try here with these religious leaders doesn't work, you need to hit the high road. No. Here's what we learn from this first set of verses, these first six verses, and it's learning number two. Too much truth can cause long-lasting hurt. Too much truth can hurt us. And John does a great job of setting this passage up for us, because he tells us that the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the ones who are bringing this woman out to Jesus. And they're basically, they want to know what Jesus says about it. Hey, where do you stand on this? What should we do with her? What is your take, Jesus? And this is where we see too much truth, people, can hurt other people, because we have to think about who the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees were. They were the religious leaders in Jesus' day who put on an air that they had it all together. They were superior to everybody else when it came to religion and knowing God. And listen, for good reason. They were smart people. They knew the scripture. They knew the 613 Jewish laws. They knew exactly what they needed to do and what they didn't need to do. They were very important. They held prominent positions within the religion. And in our day, I almost like to think of these people as those church people that I mentioned that make you feel less than them when it comes to your spiritual journey. They feel superior, and they will argue with you about anything and always be right. It could be a theological issue, it could be a biblical issue, you know, it could be a social issue, or even, heaven forbid, a political issue, but they never can see the other side, right? They're very difficult to reason with. That's who the religious leaders were in Jesus's day. And so, again, they're not bad people. The church people today, us, you know, we're not bad people. It's just sometimes we get caught in only the truth and leaning so far on the truth. So they bring this woman caught in the act of adultery before Jesus, and they're really using her as a prop. They're not treating her like a person, as a human being. They're not treating her as a woman who has fallen short, has sinned. You know, they're just using her as a prop to try to trap Jesus into going against the scripture or going against the laws of the day. Because what did they say? Let's look at it again, John 8, 5, and 6. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And again, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. So on one hand, if he says, you know, well, let's forgive her, then he's going against the law of Moses, right? Because the law of Moses says to stone her. On the other hand, if he says, well, let's just stone her, then he's going against Roman rule. Because the Jewish people couldn't just go around stoning people because their old manuscript said to stone people. They had to, Rome did away with that, right? And so they had to have Rome's approval. That's why Jesus had to go before Pilate before he was crucified. The Jews wanted to stone him right then and there, but they couldn't. They didn't have the authority, and they had to get Rome's stamp of approval on it. So they're using her really as bait, never acknowledging the fact that she's a person who's made a mistake. They just want to make an example of her. So if we become people who only carry the truth, we're going to get stuck. And we're only going to focus on the sins of the people around us, right? We're not going to have empathy. We're not going to have compassion. We're not going to have love. We're not going to have grace. And worst part of it is we are not going to grow in our own spiritual journey because we're too busy looking at the sins everybody else is committing and not dealing with our own baggage. Too much truth people love to hold other people accountable, but they don't like to hold themselves accountable. People stuck in too much truth are the type of people that say, well, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but... And then everything they say after the but, they're being a jerk, right? They're the type of people that know they need forgiveness in their lives, but they're never willing to offer forgiveness to someone else. It's even the kind of people that see their own need for Jesus, but they don't see the lost and dying world's need for Jesus as well. So that's kind of a picture for you of what too much truth does. But there's another side to this coin, right? And that's if we live with too much grace. That's the other side of this tension, is too much grace. So let's look at some more passages in the story. John chapter 8, verse 7 through 10. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Remember, if this doesn't work, no. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? So from this passage, here's what we learn. Learning number three, grace meets us where we are. So think about this scene for a minute. In the middle of all these religious elites, these superior church people with their fancy robes, their knowledge, their understanding of the law, their pride, their superiority, we find a crowd. Probably a lot of the town is there. And in the middle is this woman who's hurt. She's dejected. I guarantee you she's ashamed. She's sobbing probably on the ground. I mean, she's caught, right? She's dead to rights. We know that she's done wrong, but she's humiliated. But all the while, towered around her are these religious elite people humiliating her and accusing her in public. And that kind of sounds like something that church people would do, doesn't it? Like show up to the funeral of someone who's not like them and has a sin different than them with picket signs and hurling insults at the family and at the deceased while the family just wants to be able to bury the person they've lost in peace. But in this scene that we see, what happens? Jesus enters the scene. And what's he bring with him? Grace. He just meets her right where she's at. I mean, he says, let the one who has never sinned cast the first stone. And then what happens? One by one, the crowd starts to disperse. One by one, the people start to leave. Why? Because I believe in that moment, they realized that they were no different than that woman that was caught in the act of adultery. They realized there was something in their own life where they needed grace instead of just all truth. They came to the conclusion, wait a minute. It's not just about truth. There's got to be grace in here as well. I need to be forgiven for what I've done. And so they started walking away one by one. And the only person that's left with this woman is Jesus. Now, he could have thrown the first stone, right? Because he had never sinned, but he didn't. Why? Because Jesus is grace. And Jesus meets us wherever we're at in life. He loves us. He really does. He knows our mistakes. He knows our sins. He knows our shortcomings. He knows everything, and he still gives his grace to us. He picks us up, dusts us off, comforts us, loves us, forgives us. I want you to know, no matter where you're at on the faith journey, you are never, ever, ever too far away from Jesus' grace. It's who he is. That's why Romans 8:1 says this, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Grace meets us where we're at. And unlike the truth-only people, grace has empathy. And grace has compassion. And you're probably wondering, well, if Jesus loves me and if he's all forgiving and he gives grace freely, then why can't I just live my life the way I want without any regard to what Jesus says to do? And that's where we find that struggle, that tension between truth and grace. And here's the key. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, here's the key, and it's learning number four. When it comes to truth and grace, you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. It's a balance. Obviously, Jesus is the one that gets that balance right all the time, but that doesn't mean that we don't try, right? Because he gives us the model to shoot for. Now, how do we know that this balance is right? And he tells us that as well in verses 10 and 11. John 8, 10 and 11, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said, and Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Right there, Jesus is 100% truth, and he's 100% grace. He's 100% grace because he says, I don't condemn you either. But he's 100% truth because he says, now go and sin no more. You cannot have one of these without the other. Truth and grace go hand in hand. And this is just an example of where that tension that you and I feel, it's perfectly balanced. And it's a balance that we're not going to probably get right all the time. All right? But if we will keep our eyes on Jesus, if he's the one we follow, then guess what? We're going to get it right a lot of the time. Jesus didn't show up and say to her, "Ooh, aren't you glad I saved you from those mean and nasty religious leaders? Now you go on. Do what you need to do. Just go live your life." He didn't do that. But he also didn't kick her while she was down. He didn't continue like the religious leaders did and humiliate her and belittle her and shame her in public. What did he do? He just loved her. Right there in the moment, he just loved her. Romans 8:2 says this, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So there Here's the good news. There is grace available to us even when there's people all around us that just want to give us truth. But there's also truth available to us. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in us to guide us and lead us into all truth. So truth and grace, they work hand in hand. To bring us that life, that John 10:10 life, that full life, that abundant life. And for some of you here this morning, you've never taken that step towards that relationship with Jesus, maybe because of that picture of Jesus that was painted for you by a too much truth person that's not really an accurate picture of who Jesus is. So my encouragement to you would be, don't let truth people only define for you who Jesus is, because he's going to come across as uncaring and judgmental and unloving. That's not who Jesus is. He's full of grace. And do you know he's so full of grace, he wants you. He wants a relationship with all of us, and that'll blow your mind. But that's how much grace he has. And I'd encourage you, when we pray in a few minutes, open your heart to him. Just start that relationship with him. Now, for others of us at home or here, you know, maybe we've been following Jesus for a while now. So I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is my balance of truth and grace look like? Does my balance of truth and grace, does it resemble Jesus? Would people see Jesus through me? You know, ask yourself, where am I being too hard on myself? Where am I, you know, being too hard on others? That may be a truth, too much truth problem. But the other side of that coin is, we have to ask ourselves, where am I giving myself too much grace? Where am I looking at my own sin and saying, that's not that big a deal? That's not really sin. That's just not an issue. If we evaluate ourselves like that, then that's a too much grace problem. So we got to balance it. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So having that perfect mixture of truth and grace is how we live this abundant life that Jesus promises, how we live this fullness of life. Can you imagine what would be different if we could get this right? Could you imagine if we could do it 90% of the time the way that Jesus did it? What would change in our very own lives? What would change, more importantly, in the lives of people around us, those people that we're influencing that we don't even realize we're influencing, either away from Jesus or towards Jesus? And the truth is, we don't have to imagine it, because guess what Jesus did? He told us what it looks like. John 8, and I'll end with this, John 8, 31 through 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. God, thank you, first of all, so much that you are full of grace. Jesus, your grace came to this earth to save us, to stand in our place, to forgive us of our sins. Thank you for that. And thank you for leaving us with the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Lord, we want to follow you. Help us to be a good mix of grace and truth, knowing we're not going to get it right all the time. But if we'll stay focused on you, if we'll keep our eyes on you, if we'll let you lead, guide, and direct us, we'll get it right a whole bunch of times. Maybe as we're praying, you're at home or you're here and you've just never opened your heart to Jesus because you didn't really have a clear picture of what Jesus looks like, and that's okay. But maybe today's the day. Why don't you open your heart to him? Just say, Jesus, hey, you know what? I've drawn an inaccurate picture of who you are. I didn't think you were full of grace. I didn't think you loved me cared about me, wanted a relationship with me. But I know now that's why you came to this earth. You came to pay the penalty for my sin. And so I'm inviting you into my life. I'm asking you not only to forgive me of my sin, but help me to stay away from it. Help me to follow your lead from now on. God, we want to be truth and grace people. We want to continue to be your ambassadors on this earth. We want people to be able to see you in us without us even having to open our mouths. We want them to see who you are. Help us to continue to be a church that reaches out. God, thank you for these people. They're the ones at home, the ones here, just their sacrifice, their service, their generosity, their prayers, their love of other people, or their willingness to continue to share your love with others. We know that's what you've called us to do, and we want to do it well. Lord, you are the best. You're the greatest, and we love you. Amen. So I got a couple things just to cover with you before we close. First of all, if you invited Jesus into your life, if you're here, if you'd go by the hub on your way out, they've got some information for you, just some resources to help you on your journey. If you're watching from home, just make sure you tell your online host that you invited Jesus into your life. If you need prayer today, you can do that at the end of the service. Our prayer team will be up here. If you came prepared to give back, you can do that in the black boxes, or better yet, that online helps us so much through our website or through the Church Center app. So I want to give you a quick update on Advancing the Vision. That's a campaign, a capital campaign we're having where we're expanding our facility. Obviously, the parking lot's in. A lot of you have been using that. The landscaper started this week with final grading, and then, you know, we've got to put 46 trees up there. So there'll be 46 trees going in. They're working on the island in the middle. The awning for the exterior doors is supposed to be hung this day. So we're making great progress. AEP is supposed to drop a transformer, so the lights on the steps and the parking lot will work when we use the facility at night. So it's coming along great, but I really appreciate your patience with this and your prayers. So Easter is coming. It's right around the corner. And so I want you to begin to think about, who am I going to invite to Easter services? But don't wait till Easter. Bring them next week. Every week we should be thinking about, who's that person that needs to know about Christ or grow in their relationship with Christ? But on Easter weekend, we're going to have four service times. So we're going to have a Saturday service, a family service at 4 o'clock on Saturday. It'll be identical to the services we have on Sunday, except for childcare. On a family service, we encourage you to bring your kids with you. We'll just have babies, childcare for babies. And then on Sunday, we'll have our normal service times, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. So if you're a regular partner or attender at the church and you can come to that Saturday night service, I think we had 800 and some people last year on Saturday. But if you can come to that Saturday service, people who don't normally come to church come on Sunday. And a lot of times they come at 11 o'clock. So that would free up a space on Sunday for somebody who needs to hear about Christ. So Saturday at 4, Sunday, regular service times, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. The other thing I need to let you know, they give me all the announcements. Cody never has to do this. I don't understand that. But next week is Celebration Sunday, child dedication and baptism, so it's not too late to sign up for those. It is always an incredibly exciting Sunday, so I encourage you to join us for that. We have opened, for those of you with little babies, you know, I know a lot of you are sitting out in the lobby and you can only see me on the screen because you're not quite ready to put your kid in the child care area, but you know, and they're not ready to sit through one of my talks. Even a lot of you as adults aren't. You don't like my talks. That's fine. I get that. But we have created a family viewing room for you in the old middle school space where our middle schoolers used to meet off of our new lobby. That's going to be what we call a family viewing room on Sunday. So you can go in there with your kids. They can run wild and you can enjoy the service, but it gives you a little more privacy and you don't really have to worry as much. And I think there was something else I was supposed to tell you. Oh, today at noon, right after the 11 o'clock service, our young adults are having a luncheon here at the church. It's for those that are between the ages of 18 and 25-ish. Just a chance to have no agenda whatsoever, just a chance to hang out, meet other young professionals or students. It doesn't matter where you're at in life, but that's open today right at noon here at the church. So I encourage you to come back for that. Thank you guys so much for your attention, for being here today. I hope you have an incredible week. Grab a friend and come back and see us next Sunday. God bless you guys.